Right. I've got no idea if the microphone is working, if the recording studio is working. But I'm just going to talk anyway. Just for the sake of it. And if it doesn't record, then... it doesn't record.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So let's go through the Guardian first. Oh yeah, this is Let Me Boy to Sleep. Please only listen when you can safely close your eyes. My name is Jason Noland. And that's it. If this is working, I want to say a big thank you to Leah from Star Wars, from May the Force Be With You, for sending me a PayPal gift. Thank you very much, Leah. I do appreciate it, genuinely. And it was a lovely surprise to wake up to today. Yes. So, what I'm going to do is read through the papers. Let's do the Guardian first, shall we? Bloody hell, come on. How do I do it? Alright, okay. I have to move it around. So, front page of the Guardian. This is in the UK. 18th of April 2024. Would cost me £3. Blimey. Or for £1.97 for subscribers. Brexit blamed as UK drug shortages puts... okay. Netanyahu rejects calls. Okay, that's not an interesting story. That's, well, interesting, but not fun. A classic policy model. Disabled people. Is it still possible to find bargain vinyl records in your local charity shop? This might be interesting. Let's check this out. I'm clicking on it, but nothing's coming up. Why? Or page 8. I've got to go to page 8. Right, here we go. A family calls decision to edit... asylum seekers? No. It says page 8. Unless it's page 8 of something else. Good. Is it still possible to find page 8? So I'm going to page 8. 6, 7, 8. No, nothing about vinyl records at all. Huh. Why? That's very weird. Grant settles claim against publisher of The Sun for enormous sum. This is Cary Grant. Oh, look. Ultra fast, full fibre, £29.99 per month. You can get 150 megabytes a second. Compared to some of the other places, it's not so fast. Because some places give you like gigabyte a second, but for me 150 megabytes is huge. So yeah, I can't find anything there for the vinyl. Book review: shameless, petulant and cliche ridden. It's a perfect model of political memoir. This is what's her name's, Liz Truss, called 10 Years to Save the West. It's about her 3 hours as Prime Minister. You know, see, I didn't jump onto the bandwagon of trying to oust her out of her premiership after 6 weeks or whatever she had. And yet only one person has actually had a shorter period, and that person died. So... what's weird is she clearly didn't get the help she needed. She didn't get any support. because she came out with this all these ideas, tax cuts and stuff, but she didn't get anyone. She was so excited about being a prime minister, which she would do, wouldn't you? And it collapsed the economy, which that says more about the economy than it does her, I think. If a political statement about what she's thinking of doing is going to collapse the economy within like an hour, then there's something, more questions need to be asked, I would say, you know. And it's basically the banks that do it. The banks suddenly say, that's it, interest rates are going up, we're stopping lending, we're stopping borrowing, mortgage rates are going up, all that stuff, because of something that Liz Truss said. I don't think it can be blamed on one person personally. Hey, political. Starmer stands firm behind Rayner. Yeah, I bet he does. Oh, that sounds weird, doesn't it? He stands firm. bosoms. Family calls. Okay. I'm going to move away from this because none of it's fun. Let's get one of the fun newspapers, one of the silly newspapers. They're all silly, but in their own way. But let's say the Mirror. The Daily Mirror. It's today, okay. So, we started this new thing. I don't know if you might not be aware of it. It's copying another country. I think it might be Canada or Australia. I'm not sure. Where a law is going to come in, so no one born in or after 2009 will be able to buy cigarettes. So what would someone be now? 2009 2019 2020 2021 2022 2023 2024, so they'll be 15. They put the age of cigarettes up from 16 to 18 a few years back, and to buy cigarettes, that is. So anyone that's 14, so 4 years time, 4 years time, the law will really kick in. I mean, the law will be made soon, I think. In fact, it's already been voted in. But the actual, I guess the actual effects won't be for 4 years, when those 14-year-olds and an 18-year-old, and they'll be, so they'll be 18, but 19-year-olds will be able to buy cigarettes. 18-year-olds won't. And when they're 19, they won't be able to buy cigarettes, but 20-year-olds will. And when they're 21, 22-year-olds will be able to buy cigarettes, and then or above that, but they won't. And get this, when they're 45, anyone over 46 will be able to buy cigarettes, but they won't. So you'll have these pensioners, these 63, 65-year-old people standing outside newsagents, like saying, oh mate, can you do us a favour? Can you buy some fags? Oh, here's £300. That's probably how much they'll cost by then. It's £300 million. Buy us a pack of cigarettes, please. By the way, fags are cigarettes in the UK, just in case you think I was being homophobic. It's only really posh people that seem to say homophobic. Homophobic is what the average person in the UK would say, homophobic. But not homophobic. And I'm neither of those, because I love gay people. I love them. I love them more than I should. I do. Never understood why people had an issue. Like, does it matter what someone else does, you know, in their own room? What does it matter what someone, you know, if, really? I'd never quite understood it. Then, If you look at extremism, extremism doesn't just come from other parts of the world. Extremism's here. Extremism hasn't just been here for the last, you know, with the immigrants that came in with different religions in the 60s or 50s or whatever, or even, you know, since then. Extremism's always been here. Just different types of extremism. That, like, anti-whatever it might be. I mean, there was a time when being gay was a mental illness. Now, that was good. They might say, that's not good. It was, because before that, it was just against God. It was satanic. It was almost like, you know, it was the devil. You're the devil. You want to do gay things. You're the devil. But and then they realise, oh, it's a mental illness. So still against the law, but people didn't, you know, it wasn't like. And people would go to prison for it. But it wasn't the same as, you know, people didn't get burnt at the stake and stuff like that anymore. Although I do wonder if it should bring it back. Not for gay people, just generally. Be better than anything that's on telly. Bring it back for terrorists or shoplifters. Amazon drivers that don't deliver properly. You know, things like that. Uber drivers that deliver food cold. You know, I mean, there's no list of burnings at the stake. It'd be one every hour around here. Anyway, I don't want to kid in. I'm kidding. Okay, so that's what it is, that cigarette-free generation. It's copied from another country. It's not America, so it's a Western country that is English speaking. So it's, I think they've either copied it off, I think, either Canada, Australia, or New Zealand. They're the only, other than America, that's the only countries that are classed as like completely English, but not completely. I know Canada has parts that are predominantly a different language, but you know, well, parts, the whole of America and Canada had different languages, didn't they? And Australia and New Zealand and England as well. We didn't speak like this. The old thing about, oh, we're pure. No, we're not. We're not. We've been invaded, I think, 17 times or something in this country by lots of different countries. I mean, Germany, during the First World War and the Second World War, Germany just wanted to come back. It already invaded us before, in the past. So, yeah, we're just a mixture of things. You know, there was a time when we spoke. The Germans were here for 400... No, the Italians were here for 400 years. Which meant that we probably spoke Italian. But I just don't have the linguistic gift for it. But then, we say we. I'm like half... Yeah, I'm not really like pure... There's no such thing as pure anything, but part of my ancestries comes from Ireland. But then my granddad's side comes from England. But my dad did this hereditary thing years ago, and we do go back to Scotland. But then, which means that we're kind of the original people of the country, the Celts, because the Celts were here. Celts are kind of some of the original people on this planet. Not on this planet, in this country. And then I think when the Romans came here, they took off to Wales and Scotland. Again, I'm making this up. I don't know if it's true or not. And now this is not a continuation of my last podcast. I'm going to move on. So there. Okay, Come Together. Beatles' sons join forces and create Lennon McCartney 2. Which is weird because now they're in their 60s. I mean, come on. Why didn't you do it when you were younger? Sean and James. So, Sean McCartney. That wasn't the one that had the songs. What was the one that... Julian. Was it Julian Lennon? I like Julian Lennon. As if it's his name. He was good. My name is Julian Lennon. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. He was good. Okay, the Beatles. Okay, John Lennon. It's John Lennon and Paul McCartney's sons. The songwriting powerhouse behind the Beatles. Why are they writing that? Do we need to be... If you're reading it, and it's about the Beatles, I'd say probably most people that know who the Beatles are know who Paul McCartney and John Lennon is. I'm guessing. But they have to say that anyway, just because it fills space up, doesn't it? James McCartney and Sean Ono Lennon. Sean Ono Lennon. Wow. So I find that interesting. John Lennon being, some could argue, one of the most famous men that lived in, you know, the 20th century, let's say. You know, he's one of the most famous men in the world. That put, you know, especially at the Western world, but I'd say probably the whole world, because, but I'm sure there's villages around the world that don't know who he is. But just saying, very, very famous. Why would you want to hyphen your surname? Never understood hyphen surnames. Never got it. I know some people like, yeah, but I'm... And I hear that and I think it didn't really make sense to me. Just have the surname. Can't we have some tradition? Can't we have some... Yeah, well, tradition then. If you want to go back to tradition. And that makes sense. It's like, okay, fair enough. That's not allowed. It's against the law now. And that was traditional. And so it's like, okay. It's hard to argue on that one. Because you know, what happened then was horrible. And it was standard practice. Did you know, here's something that you might not know. It's not particularly pleasant, but it's Dr. Bedeker, I think his name is, M. Bedeker. In India, he converted thousands and thousands of Indians from India to convert from whatever religion they were in to become Buddhists. Because they were in the caste system. And, of course, the lower caste, the higher class ones probably didn't want to convert. But the lower caste were treated so poorly that they decided they were going to become Buddhists because then they could all be treated the same. So thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. Because hundreds of thousands in India is like 30 or 40 people in the UK. Because they've got such a huge population. And so, but you know, one of the rules was, and this is, it's diabolical just to think that someone would have to be told this, and it wasn't that long ago, you know, we're talking probably the 60s, maybe the 50s, maybe even the 70s, so it wasn't a huge long time ago. Might have been the 80s even, but it was kind of within my lifetime or just a little bit before. And one of the rules was, you know, they can be ordained as Buddhists, be converted into Buddhists. I don't know about ordained, but they were converted. And they take the, like I did myself, taking the I became a mitra, and you kind of take a vow of going for refuge, and it's kind of in Buddhism, so for three jewels, the Dharma, Sangha, and the Buddha being the Buddha, and the Dharma being the teachings of the Buddha, and then also the teachings of followers of the Buddha, and so on and so forth, and the Sangha being the other followers of Buddhism. And the idea is you take refuge. And I never really understood that, what that meant, because I didn't really understand about refugees until probably more recently, not from experience, but from reading and from not hating upon them, to be honest, from actually thinking what it would be like to go through something like that, to have to flee your country. And you know, I didn't realize that there was people here cleaning toilets that used to live like royalty in their own countries, people doing washing up for a living, and they're trained physicians, brain surgeons even. You know, it's just because even in like India or Africa, different places in Africa or other countries, they might not get paid huge amounts of money for being a brain surgeon, but there would be prestige involved, as there would be, I think, anywhere. In America, you'd probably be a millionaire, multi-millionaire, if you was a brain surgeon. Over here, you'd be wealthy. But you know, that prestige will be with you wherever you go, if you're at the top of your profession medically. And because the country became unstable, they'd leave. Always getting political. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I'm not being political. I'm being compassionate, I would say, to be honest with you. Because I just see so much negativity about people that are suffering, and I think, well, you know what, where's the compassion, baby? Where's the compassion? And that just throws me off a bit. Like, can't we all just get along a little bit like that? Anyway, I used to live in a refugee camp for a little while, like a British refugee place, where it was in a YMCA in 2001 for about 3 years, 4 years or so. And I lived in this, and it was a YMCA, huge building. There was the hostel next door, which was for homeless people to go to. That's where they went to start with. And if they played the game, they would then move into one of the studio apartments next door. And if they continued to play the game and behave themselves, they'll then get a council flat. And so, you know, that was that. And that was more for the residents of the UK. Now, what they did is they filled nearly all of the studio apartments up next door, this big building, with refugees from, I think, Afghanistan at the time, maybe Iraq, I don't know, but it was like the Middle East area. And there was loads and loads and loads. And I'd never really been in that situation before. And I got on with everyone. I was sort of just friendly, although they were noisy at night. They'd use the radiators as drums, and they'd be singing and perhaps chanting, I don't know. And it was a little bit full on at times, like, come on. But I just, most of the time, kept me cool and just, you know, just I was working, so I wasn't there that much. But I did see, you know, I saw some interesting things. The way they operated, very much stuck together, didn't go out on their own. And I suppose I could see, in a way, how some people maybe could be intimidated in the street. Not because, if you just see, like, maybe 12 men walking towards you, I suppose if you're easily intimidated, it could be like, oh, you've never seen them before, they're in your town, and like, who are these blokes? And they're not moving out of the way, and maybe that could be intimidating to some people. And then you add on the fact that they're speaking a different language, so you can't gain an intention. Because if you hear them talking, and let's say they're talking English, and they're just laughing about football, they laugh, it's less intimidating, isn't it? If you know, you can get a gauge of where they're at. But if they're English and they're being aggressive, and you can hear it, then you cross the road or something. But when someone's speaking a different language, that some countries sound aggressive to us, and they're not being aggressive. And maybe we sound aggressive to other countries when we're not being aggressive, because they can't hear what we don't know what we're saying, you know. And you might think, what do you mean some people sound aggressive? Well, there's this thing where generally there's a tone of voice, there's a certain I would say volume volume that the average person doesn't go above. And when they do go above that, not always, but sometimes, it can be connected to a degree of hostility. And added to the fact that none of them looked very happy, which, why would they be? They're now away from their home, and they're all not living a particularly good lifestyle, you know. So they weren't smiling and laughing as well. So it was, I suppose it was weird, and the town didn't like it. There's a lot of anti them going on. And I just saw them as humans, annoying when they were banging the radiators. That's the only thing I didn't like about them, and I wouldn't like that about anyone. And you could hear, because the radiators, they're all connected, aren't they? There's like 300 radiators or whatever in the building. They're all connected together like a labyrinth of heat, I don't know. So that was strange. But you know what, I'd have preferred to live with them than some of the people I've lived with in the past, because they weren't causing trouble at all to me. They were respectful. They never, ever, ever gave me any crap, ever. But I'd sometimes get a little bit of crap from some of the English people. I remember once I was downstairs in the food place. Didn't even know there was a food place until I was ill and I didn't have any food, and I found out, like, oh, okay. So I went in there for a little while. I was a vegetarian, because I was a Buddhist vegetarian. I was trying to stick to that lifestyle. And some bloke started having a go, saying, oh, just give him meat. Give him a normal sausage. I was like, really? I thought, what would you expect me to do with this? Well, where are we going with this, darling? What was, come on, sweetheart, what are we leading up to? You flirting with me? Come on. You want me to eat some meat, yeah? So some reason you've taken this on to be something you're concerned about. what I put in my mouth. Okay. But other than that, it was pretty much okay. But it was noisy. It was very noisy. I had people below me that were very... just. The thing is, they'd move homeless people into there, into the building. So not only was it... pretty much no one was working. I was one of the few people that were working. And it wasn't... the place wasn't really there for me. It was there to help people that were homeless or struggling. I moved in because I'd moved from London to be near my nan, who'd just broken a hip. And it was the only place I could find that would take me in. So I moved in there, and it was only supposed to be temporary, but I stayed there for a while. In the end, I moved out twice. In fact, I moved three times within the building just to try and find somewhere that wasn't noisy. And I finally found somewhere that was... had no next door neighbours, no one upstairs because I was on the top floor, but I did have a neighbour downstairs, and that was quiet for a while until it wasn't, because I had a lot of people that were unemployed there just playing loud music all day, vibrating the whole building, you know. So I put a complaint in, and then they started knocking on my door, and sort of, I guess maybe it was easier to find out who I was because I was the only neighbour upstairs that they had. But it's really weird. There was one night where somebody, I heard like this banging and stuff, and I look out the keyhole, the peephole, and there was someone smashing a mirror against my door. Like a big mirror smashing against my door and against the wall and everything like that. So I didn't open the door because why would you? And there's more than one person there, and I don't know why he was doing it. And I just left it. It was a little bit, to be fair, it was a little bit, it wasn't an enjoyable experience for me. And the next day, next morning, I got up, went outside, and there was blood everywhere, you know, and I'm like, wow. And there was bits of mirror on the floor, and I don't think the actual whole of the mirror was there, but it was definitely smashed up, and, you know, not just my door, but other, around the wall and stuff like that. So I go downstairs to the reception to make a complaint, or just to let them know that what had happened. And they said, oh, we've already had a report, because there was next to my one, there was actually an office which they used during the day. So someone had already, maybe it was on camera or something, or the cleaners or something. Anyway, so I said, okay. And they said, we don't know who did it though. I turned to my right. This was at the reception, and there was a bloke with a big bandage on his hand. Now, I'm not Columbus, but let me think. He has big old bandage on his hand. The person that was smashing that mirror was holding with bare hands. There was blood everywhere, which meant clearly that person was cut, which does happen if you hold a mirror and start, you know. And I looked at her, I looked at him, I said, are you sure? Yeah, we don't know who did it. And I looked at his hand, and he's like, are you that dumb? Really? Look, and this is someone that they knew. This is one of their problem children, you know, in the place. And pretty much they would have had him on camera doing it as well, walking around, at least walking around with a mirror. And I just like, well, okay, fair enough, if you're not going to do anything about it. So I said to leave it, and that was part of the reason I moved out as well. Although I did move out from the previous room downstairs and went and lived in a caravan because I was fed up with the noise. And I found a caravan on this, it was near a railway track, which was, it wasn't that busy, to be honest, the railway track. But it was this little bit of land, and it was, there was, I think, only about five caravans on there. They weren't nice caravans. They weren't horrible caravans, but they were old, old caravans, but looked okay inside. And so it was big enough. There was a, I think there might have even been two bedrooms. There was, but definitely a double bed room, probably a little bedroom, bathroom, kitchenette bit, and then there was a big living room with like a settee and a reclining chair. And I liked it. I thought, yeah, I'll move in here. So I did. I did it at the wrong time of year. So I moved in. I was still paying rent at the other place, so I didn't give up that place because I wanted to see if I liked it or not. And I think I'd already paid 3 months in advance and the rent, so I just moved my stuff in and wanted to see how it went. Now, I was sitting outside at some point, so my memory is I moved in about November, but surely the weather wouldn't have been good enough for me to be able to sit outside and read a book on a Saturday. So maybe I was there for a little bit longer than that. Maybe it was October. I don't recall completely. Anyway, it started getting a bit cold. And the condensation indoor inside was ridiculous. It was on a level I've never seen before. The thing should have really been, I think it should have been in someone's garden that they, so they can use it in the summer, or only rented out in the summer, because not applicable in the winter when it's cold. In the summer, it's lovely. It's like a shed. It's just a nicer version of a shed. I'd have been, if that had been, let's say, in Thailand, for example, that would have been quite a nice thing to have if it's in a hot country. I don't know, just an example, but I'll close this thing up because I'm not reading it, am I? Ugh. And then, because I was working at the time. Yeah, I was working. And it was my first insurance job, so I was still working there. And this was, I would say this was about either the end of 2002. Yeah, end of 2002. And at Christmas, I went to my dad's for Christmas. And I got a phone call from the caravan site saying that there's a leak coming out of the caravan. I must have left the tap on, which I didn't. I don't think I even used the taps the whole time I was there. So, you mean you didn't wash? Okay, I might use the taps, but I didn't leave a tap on. And when I got there, I hadn't. It was an internal, a pipe had burst, so it wasn't me at all. And the, oh man, it was a mess. So I want to get in there. My dad comes with me. He gives me a lift back, I think. And we look at it, and it's mainly outside. It just looks worse than it is. But it is absolutely minus degrees inside. Like, it seemed colder inside it was outside. It was like walking into a freezer. And you might say, well, how do you know what it's like to walk into a freezer? Well, I do, because I used to work in a freezer. which sounds like a silly answer. Like, there's no room to manoeuvre in a freezer. What did you do? Just sit there? No. I used to work in a place that used to store stuff, frozen stuff. And these freezers were huge, size of a supermarket, pretty much, but higher. You know, and they'd be stacked with thousands of pallets of stuff. So it's huge, and it was minus whatever degrees. And there was something quite nice about walking in there, because it was fresh, and it was, I don't know, it felt quite nice. I quite liked it, actually. Especially on a hot day. On a really hot day, it was sometimes nice just to, like, just step inside for a few minutes and then, and then get outside and, like, wow, this the difference. Now, I know it's not very healthy to keep doing that, I think, but anyway. So I do know what it's like to work in a freezer. And so, it's a long time ago. I don't really remember it. But, you know, you have to wrap up. But these were huge, huge things. I'd say as big as a supermarket. I'd say even bigger than any supermarket I've been in. Like, absolutely massive. You know, it takes a good 10 minutes to walk from one side to the other. I'm exaggerating, of course, but, you know, makes it better. It was bigger than the forest, than the biggest forest in the world. No, it wasn't. Bigger than the Nile. No, it was big though. It was big. It was. And so I know what it's like to work in a freezer. That's what I'm saying. And it felt like that kind of temperature, but it felt really damp. Really damp. And it was. Condensation was, I mean, at one point I said to my dad, "You're sweating. Why are you sweating?" He says, "It's not sweat." It's like, basically, he was condensing as well. So he left. I stayed. I put on the heaters. There's two heaters in there. I put them on and I sat down. And the heaters were on for about 3 hours. Did not even dent the heat, didn't dent the temperature. Couldn't do anything, and I felt ill. I had a headache after that, and it was no way. We couldn't get rid of the cold, or I couldn't get rid of the cold. So what I did was I moved back to my other flat the next day, and that was it. So I moved back and stayed there, but it took me a few days to recover, because that was like so damp, and couldn't believe that. Wasn't able to break to get rid of the cold. Like, the heaters just weren't doing it. Like, when I was living there, before I went away for Christmas, it started to get cold, but having the heating on most of the time sort of took the edge off. But this, wow, after being left for 3 days or 4 days without any heating, it was an icebox. So I moved out of there, went back to my other place. I got a friend to give me a hand. And all my books were damp. And at that time I had a huge collection of books. Over 1,000 books, and I'd be collecting since 97. I had a huge collection of books before that as well, but so this is how much I'd collected since 1997. And I always took my books wherever I went. Not wherever I went, I didn't go shopping with my books, because that would be weird. Although, when I went to Ireland in 1994, I had this big army kit bag thing, and I had all my books in there. not that there was a lot of books, but my pads and everything. And that was, and it's, what's weird about it is I actually got searched. They stopped me at customs when I got to Ireland. So I went through, about to walk through, they stopped me and interrogated me. It's true. They wanted to know who I was, why I was going there. They were searching all my stuff. I said, it's just books. And I don't know what they thought I had, if I had weapons or something. So they searched and I said, okay, so where are you staying? And I mean, this is in a time when we had free movement through Europe. You pretty much were supposed to be able to just go anywhere you wanted. Didn't really even need a passport in some ways. Although I did have a passport, so that was not really an issue. But you could get like a temporary visa passport thing just to go abroad, which I used to use to go to... In fact, I'm pretty sure when I went to Belgium, I didn't have a passport then, and we could just go there. So, but when I went to Ireland, they really like thought I was up to something. And I had to call the person that I was staying with to prove that I had somewhere to stay. Yeah, it's very weird. I think a similar thing happened to me when I went to Spain. I think I was stopped there as well, and they wanted to know who I was and where I was going, and I put down, like, just... because I didn't have really any plans, so I just... this was back in 89. And maybe I just looked dodgy. Maybe I did. Maybe I looked dodgy, and that's why I get stopped. I mean, I know that when I went to Thailand, they stopped me and made me take my shoes off, and I had to strip off in front of everyone, and they made me do a little dance. Didn't seem to do it with anyone else. I don't know why. All I know is I thoroughly enjoyed it. Made some new friends. It was great. So, I don't know. It's weird. So, I what was I going to say? I moved back after being that caravan. Now, I enjoyed living in a caravan. I would enjoy living in a caravan if it was a proper, decent caravan with heat, you know, in the summer, nice and cool, in the winter, nice and warm. With all, just basically a house, but in a caravan. And I could probably happily live like that for a long time. Me and Vinny, we could be together, be near a beach, so we could go for a walk on the beach and stuff, and it'd be cool. You know, a static caravan, you know, the ones that you're not supposed to live in all year round, which I never really got my head around. It's like, oh no, you can't, you only live in it for 48 weeks a year or something. Like, why? I mean, it's like, oh, because otherwise you have to pay council tax. Oh, good, I'll pay council tax then. It's like, what does it matter? It's like, really? You don't get charged rates when you sleep in the caravan, apparently. I don't know. So that'd be cool. I quite like to do that, you know, live in a caravan, and I could have probably done it. I mean, I could, yeah, definitely, I suppose I could still do it in the future if I wanted to, but I just don't necessarily want to, if you know what I mean, innit? Yeah, that would have been cool. Maybe I should look into it and see if I can get a caravan. I'd like to live... There's a couple of places... No, only one place I'd like to live. Although, I do quite like Wales. But Torquay is the place I'd like to live. If I was kind of like... You know, you can only live in the UK. Or you can only live, you know, in the on the mainland of Britain, surrounded by Scotland and Wales. So if I could only live on this landmass, I probably would, at least short term, choose Torquay, because I liked it there. One of the few places that I just liked. I liked it. I don't know why. There's something quite nice about it. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe, baby. So, I haven't really gone very much into the newspapers, because there's not much in the newspapers that's of any kind of niceness, you know. It's, I did think about reading the newspapers every day and trying to come up, you know, trying to see if there's any funny stuff. But it's not so much, you know. It's they probably, I'm sure there are funny stories. Of course, there'll be funny stories, and there'll be serious stories that can find funny stuff in. But ultimately, yeah, I don't know. But I don't even know if this is recording. It is recording something, but whether it's recording a microphone, because the headphones weren't working, so I couldn't see if it's actually recording anything. According to the sensors, it's recording something, but I don't know what. And I don't know why it's doing what it's doing, which is weird. Now, if this continues, then I will have to, I don't know, have to find another way of doing this. Maybe just do it on the phone, which means the quality won't be so very brilliant. But hey, you know, that's all I'm saying is hey. It's, yeah, I'm not sure really. Just see what happens. I mean, maybe this, the lifespan of this recording studio is now fulfilled, and it's decided that it's had enough of listening to my boring voice and my silly made-up stories. So perhaps it's just had enough. It just doesn't want to continue anymore. Needs a break. Needs a holiday. Needs a rest. A nice long rest. I don't know. Oh, Vinny's waiting for me to take him out. He hasn't eaten his breakfast. Still hasn't had his breakfast. Didn't eat his evening meal either. But he has eaten some other stuff, so he's listening to me. I can tell he's listening. He's going to look up in a minute. Yeah, he's looked up. I know he did. Yeah. He knows I'm talking about him. What's really happening around here? Nothing. I've decided to reduce my sugar intake. And I think I'm going to reduce my caffeine intake as well, because I've been having some weird physical feelings lately, so I'm gonna cut down, because I think I'm overdoing it with the sugar. Even though I don't drink Coke anymore, I do have probably too much sugar. So what I might do is not have any. I've had one cup of coffee this morning early with my breakfast, and perhaps I'm just gonna have no more cups of tea or anything today, just drink water, which means I won't have any sugar there. And for my meals, I'll just have some pasta and stuff, which again means I won't have any excess sugar other than what's in it, I guess, if there's anything in it. And what else? Sugar, coffee. Yeah, that's kind of it. So I'm hoping that might make a difference, because last night I went to sleep and I've had quite a good sleep. Not that I have a bad sleep, but sometimes I wake up with some weird stuff going on. So I kind of I do have sleep apnea. So it could be just the way I'm sleeping, or I do sometimes wake up and he's doing weird stuff or sitting on me and stuff. But that's it, Vinny. Lick it while you can. Blimey. His mum hates it when he's licking himself. It's like, this is normal. That's what dogs do. Just a normal thing. But when his thing's out, I'm just going to use the word thing. It's so big he struggles to walk. He trips over it. Seriously. He's a blessed young man. Blimey. It's like he's chasing a large worm. It's weird because he's been done. He had his, he had his rollers removed. And I just didn't think there'd be any physical pleasure to be gained from any of that side of things. But you think about it, he's still got his prostate, isn't he? And he's still got the other bit. So maybe, Although he hasn't been barking quite as much the last week or so, compared to what he was just barking like at everything for a while, and now he seems to have gone back to being a bit more chilled out. Although he did bark at a woman and a kid yesterday, which was a bit strange. No, he barked at a girl crossing the park. That's it, a school girl. So I don't know if the thing is, I don't know who he knows, because he's lived around here. He was 10 months before I met him. He knew people before me. When I first got him, there was sometimes people coming up and saying hello to him, including not just adults, as kids as well. Right, Vinny, right, mate, right. Like, how the heck do you know what his name is? I've not even learnt it yet. So, yeah. I remember I walked past the school and all these kids were shouting, Vinny, Vinny. Like he was their hero, like some kind of mascot. So, you know, who knows? I don't know. I think he lived here for 4 months before he came to me. So I guess he just got to know other people during that 4 months. And there was a kid living in the house with him as well. So maybe the kid took him out and introduced him to some of the other kids and stuff, so maybe. But he seems to know people, and sometimes when he barks at people from a distance, I wonder, does he know them? Maybe he's been in their house. I just don't know. I don't know who they are. Usually I just shout, sorry, don't know what's going on with him today. He's just barking, I don't know why. Sorry. And I just kind of try and move on. He barked at a woman and a little kid last week. And she's like, why are you doing this? And it sounds aggressive, but I don't think it is. I think it's just him being excited. He's excited. And I've seen him, it sounds aggressive sometimes when he's barking at a dog. But then, you know, a couple of minutes later, they're both running around the park together. So it is, it's really quite confusing, if you ask me, what's going on with him. But there's some dogs he has to keep away from because their dogs aren't friendly towards other dogs. Not dangerous, just a bit snappy, a bit like, just don't like other dogs. And I respect that. If I know, then I just keep him away from them. And he has to learn as well. You know, I remember someone, he said, his dog didn't like people lunging at him, didn't like other dogs lunging at him. And Vinny was lunging and his dog was snapping at him. Didn't bite him, but it was like, "Rrr," and Vinny kind of ran away. And that's a good thing. To me, he needs to learn the boundaries with other dogs. He needs to learn the language so that if he approaches a dog that doesn't want him to approach, ideally, he needs to know that before he approaches in order to stop him approaching. He needs to learn those signs. And I think he is starting to. Because I don't want him getting hurt, obviously. And he hasn't. But he has been put in his place a few times by some other dogs when he's pushed it a bit too far. I think it's that lunging thing. He's just like right in their face or up their bum, kind of straight away. And like, hey, at least introduce yourself first. You know, we could perhaps go for a cup of tea or something. Just that, you know, you're moving too fast, Vinny. And he is straight in there, kind of just like everyone's his friend. And it's one of the things I liked about him when I got him, because he was super friendly to everybody. But now he's not as friendly. He still is really friendly to most people. Probably more to the humans than the dogs, to be honest. But he's now seen to have a few, you know, he sort of takes his time a little bit sometimes. He's not in a hurry just to lunge, unless he knows them. If he knows them, then he's fine. But if it's a new dog, he'll lay on his back and be all subservient. And it's, yeah, I mean, that worries me a little bit, because if it is a dangerous dog, then he's put himself in a lot of danger by just laying on his back. But I'm always very aware of that situation, if you know what I mean. I will move very quickly if anything happened. Right, now Vinny's barking, so I'm gonna end this. Thanks for listening. I don't even know if it's recorded. If it has recorded, I will upload it. If it hasn't, well, obviously I won't, and you'll never know. But anyway, take care of yourselves. Remember to be kind to yourself. Remember to be gentle, because you do deserve to be happy. Okay? Lots of love. Bye. Thank you.